My favorite thing to do is talk to you. Listening to how your life has been impacted and how you have grown in your organizational journey is so inspiring. Over the years, I have really internalized for myself and verbalized to you that perfect is not a thing. It does not exist. I have replaced the word perfect in my vocabulary with the word excellent. I am not a perfectionist. I am a person of excellence. I invite you to come to share your story about how you are being transformed from a reactive to a proactive person, from an overwhelmed homeowner to one who is now in more control of your time and your spaces. We all want to hear what more grace feels like in your life with your unique circumstances. Do not wait until you are a perfectly organized person. Remember, perfect does not exist. I want to hear from you. Please sign up to join me for a Wednesday podcast interview at organize365.com/Wednesday. Pamela, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Oh, I'm excited to be here. And I've listened to you talk to me for about 4.5 years. Now it's nice to get to talk back to you.
Oh my goodness. I love these Wednesday conversations because I do feel like I'm talking to you out loud, obviously on the podcast, but mentally I feel like we are actually in a conversation. So it's really fun to really be in that conversation with you finally.
It is.
So how did you first find the Organize 365 podcast?
Many, many years of looking and trying to get my house organized with two small boys and a husband, and I'd buy books, I'd read them. And then finally, doing a Google search, I came across your podcast, and it was like a light bulb went on. I mean, everything that you said made sense and it worked. So you were my ride to work and my ride home every day until I got caught up to the current podcast.
That takes a while now. I mean, it's like 8 years worth of podcasts. It's a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
So who lives in your household with you now? Is it still these little boys?
Oh, no. They're grown. They are 27 and 33. And one lives right down the street and one lives up in Athens. He's a couple of hours away. But we have three dogs, which they're kind of joining me today. They're all in here, and two cats and my husband. And so I still have all my boys' stuff. And kind of being the oldest grandchild and the caretaker of the grandparents before they passed, I now have all their stuff. From their houses in my basement. And when we disassembled my mom's house, when she went to assisted living, guess who got it? I got her stuff. So I have a packed basement full of stuff that's been down there 25 plus years. So.
And is that how long you've lived in your house? 25 years?
29 years. And so the basement is the one place that I haven't made it to yet, because it will require a dumpster and probably more help than what I have to do right now.
Did you see the video I made with Michelle when I flew out there and cleaned out her basement with her?
I did. It was awesome. I'm afraid if you came to mine, we'd get the door open and then that's where we'd be for a while.
Well, I think, you know, your reality is the reality of, I want to say many, if not most, honestly. If you have a basement, you fill it. I mean, what is a basement for if it's not to fill it? And you have a basement and you're the oldest grandchild. So they just kept filling yours.
That's right. I had space.
Right?
So
yeah,
it all came there.
We don't know what to do with it. So we'll put it in Pamela's house. Pamela will take care of it. We'll put it in Pamela. So you got 25 years worth of everybody going, we'll decide later. We'll decide later. And they put it in your basement.
Yep. And there it is, stayed.
This is like a little red hen, like, well, we'll just keep putting in hers. Like, well, now the time is going to come to clean out that basement. Are they going to help clean out that basement?
No, probably not. And the things that I save for my sons, thinking they would want one day, you know, I get it out and we're like, Mom, we don't want that. Get rid of it. So
can you think of some of those things so we can talk about them that they're like, I don't want it?
Some of their books, things that they were interested in when they were in school, video games, toys. I never got rid of any toys.
Right.
I would just put them, I'd take them to the basement, or we have an attic space. I filled it up too. So
when I'm in the same place as you, like I have all the Legos, like mm-hmm. my mother-in-law made, I don't know, she made a triple bunk bed for Abby's American Girl dolls. Like she cut out the wood and painted it and screwed it together and whatever. Like I have this thing in my basement. Abby didn't even play with it when it was Abby's, but yet I have it in my basement. Now she's had a boy. He doesn't play with dolls. I mean, boys can play with dolls. This one doesn't play with dolls. So they're not going to play with this. And I'm holding on to all this stuff. And then I have my stuff from when I was a kid. And now come to find out there's lead in this stuff. And I've been saving it for 50 years. My husband said, that little Fisher-Price phone, I had one of those when I was a kid. I go, Greg, that is mine from when I was a kid.
Yep, I had that too.
That is our generation. That one was actually mine.
And so then you're like,
why did I save all this? But at the same time, like, so what are your plans? Like when you get up the gumption and you have like, I don't know, free time to go do a workout exercise in your basement of getting rid of your own, like, what's your plan? What do you want to keep?
I really don't know. I would like to keep what would fit in like three totes.
Yep.
That's my goal. You probably can see, I've got a plastic shelf over here that I put up and take down when I go from room to room to organize. But literally, you know, I'll get a box and just dump it out and go through that box. And
yep,
it may be a box I've gone through before when I decided, oh, you know, I'm going to save all this. Now I go through it again. And thanks to you, I look at it differently.
Yeah.
You know, some things I may keep one or two things, but the rest of it, it goes.
So you mentioned that you listened to me as you drove to work and back. Have you always been employed outside of the home?
I have. I've been a pharmacist for 34 years. And for the last 24 years, I work at a hospital about 20 minutes away. And so during COVID, we were, you know, 50 plus hours and everything. But I still work full time and try to travel about three times a year. And
nice.
The one good thing I used to say I was leaving work and going to my next job, which was coming home. But at least now it's a lot more comfortable to come home because things have a little bit more order than they used to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my husband even found out when the boys left, all the mess that he thought was theirs didn't leave with them because it was our stuff.
Right. I mean, I think we need to talk about this though, because we feel like we're doing the right thing as the parents of archiving and saving all of this stuff so that our kids won't have to pay for it or acquire it the way that we did. So it's kind of like a gift we're giving them. And then they say to us, nah,
nope.
I'm like, you have no money. Like you have no money. We would get things at garage sales. We would get things as hand-me-downs. Our kids are like, I'll do without, or I'll buy it at IKEA or whatever. I'm like, we have this gorgeous, whatever, dining room table from your grandmother that costs thousands of dollars. And you'd rather go get like a $50 table from my IKEA, but they do. That's what they want.
That's right.
And then we keep it.
I did get rid of the table and the chairs, but about 3 years ago, he brought the chairs back. He kept the table. Now I have the chairs again. So I understand.
And so what's the resistance to just getting rid of the chairs?
They're
I'm asking you too,
they're
people,
old,
and not
they're
just
old,
you.
And I love antiques, and getting rid of really good made items is hard for me just to let go of. Quality stuff, I just hang on to. And it's memories. You know, you have those memories. Yeah. But when I get my basement cleaned out, I'll have room for them to take them to the basement.
Well, and I think too, like, I agree with you on the quality stuff. Like, I've been to the furniture stores and it's just not quality. Like, it's even the clothing now since COVID, like, I'd rather go on the resale shops and buy White House Black Market, you know, in thread up resale yep. shop than at the actual new store today, because it's not made the same way as it was like no, before. Because- like it actually was better. Look at I'm becoming old right before your eyes. Like, it was better in my day.
Oh, I know. I'm the same way.
Oh my gosh. But like what we're giving up for that is like your whole basement and your attic.
Well, this is my office. When we built this house, I wanted a place because I'm the one that handles all the finances and the bills and everything. And so this is like my woman cave. So It used to couldn't see the walls. Didn't have room for a chair. You know, you didn't know what color the carpet was. And I had, to be honest, I had 3 filing cabinets in here. Now I have no filing cabinets. All the paper is gone.
Wow.
I have 1 built-in file where I keep my taxes after they're done. I do have my 3 Sunday baskets that are back here that I'm working out of because I'm working on my taxes. But I have, listening to you and doing the Sunday basket and going through the papers, I got rid of so much paper. And that makes things so much better too.
Yeah. How do you feel without those file cabinets?
Oh, it's a very lifting experience, not to have drawers and drawers of stuff that, to be honest, I never looked at. Right. I never went back and got to them, you know, and I was like, why do I keep this? So I have the copy of what to purge, what to save, and it's kind of stuck off to the side. And it's my reminder that, you know, you don't need this. Get rid of it. So
did you also have family members' paper in your house or only yours?
I had some family members' paper. Believe it or not, at one point I had 10 years worth of old bank statements from my mother. It's like, why do I need this? Everything's on a computer that I need. So we had a big bonfire and we got rid of all those kind of things. So going through those, my next big task are going through about 30 boxes of slides, photo slides. It's on the list. It's on the to-do list.
But it seems like you enjoy it. It doesn't seem like you made this list of drudgery and like you're like, I can't wait to get this done with because I would just rather get the dumpster and get rid of it. Like, it sounds like you enjoy the process of organizing and deciding what is going to stay and what is going to go and deciding what is going to go when, if it's going to go now or in the future, if you're going to hold on to it a little longer to decide what to do.
I do. I take ownership of it because it's part of the house. And so I take ownership. And that's a lot of the reasons before I found you and organized 365, I was very reluctant to have people come into my home. You know, didn't want to have the family Thanksgiving dinner, didn't want to have company over, just somebody, even a close friend to hang out, because I felt like, you know, there was just piles and piles of just stuff everywhere. And now, you know, we have all the family get togethers here on the holidays and friends come over. And so, because I feel more comfortable that everything looks better. And even when we leave to go on a vacation and come back home, I'm not coming back to, oh gosh, I've got to deal with this. It's like, oh, it's a lot better. It's manageable. So, and I can find stuff.
Well, I think it is important to call out, like the podcast before this, the person got organized very quickly, like in less than a year. And your journey has been much longer. And I think that the length of the organization journey is not the important part. It's the feeling supported and having a plan, because I mean, I'm personally, I don't want to be all the way done organized. Like sometimes I get all the way organized and then I'm like, I usually create chaos because I like the process of playing with my stuff. I like the process of organizing and going through and remembering and, you know, making new bookshelves and scrapbooks. And I like homemaking.
And it's like you said, it is discovery and it's my home plan of it's almost like a hobby, you know?
Yes.
What are you going to work on next? But I've even gotten my husband involved. So when we do the kitchen and granted, we've gone through the kitchen about 3 times, but I make him, he cooks more than I do. He's the cook. He goes to the grocery store, kind of like your situation. But, I, you know, I have Mike come in there and I said, okay, we're fixing to pull everything out of the pantry. You know, let's go through it together. And we decide that way he also knows where I put stuff. So it's not like him trying to find what he needs to. And we do the same thing with all the dishes and the pots and pans. And so it's been very helpful. So, you know, the kitchen to go through at least every year. It's not as deep dive as it used to be, but it stays more organized. And actually, you know, my sons will come over and they'll open the drawer. They go, wow, what happened to the junk drawer? Well, your dad's got one and I have one now. It's not every drawer you open up just about.
Well, and don't you find as you're in more of the empty nesting stage as I am in now also, I mean, there are lots of things that you can do as spouses and dates and travel and all that, but also like I have always been the one to create the order inside of our home, but Greg has always wanted a say, and he's always vocalized like, we don't have flowers on the wall. Like my mom had flowery wallpaper. And he was like, we will not be having flowery wallpaper. We have more like country club decorating, I guess, you know, like that more generic type decorating. And we have highway landscaping. That's what I call our landscaping. Like there are no flowers. It's highway landscaping, very easily maintained. We like plaids. We like checks. We like just solid walls. And so we have kind of enjoyed, as we're kind of reclaiming our house as empty nesters, like we got some new furniture. We redid the flooring. Like he likes to go to the store and have the opinion. I still do all the scheduling and I'm there when the installation occurs, but like next on our list is to get rugs. And he's like, he has very strong opinions about the rugs we're going to have. And we actually like, we've had two dates just shopping for rugs so far. Oh, and yeah. It's kind of fun. Like, I mean, you got to fill your time as empty nesters with something. Can't always be going out to dinner and going on vacation.
Nope. And I've kind of, Mike kind of made his little man cave down in the basement. So I think he's looking forward to the basement getting cleared out so his area will get larger. So
it's just kind of a natural moving into the next phase of life and the next phase of life and just doing life together. I remember early on in my marriage, I remember exactly where I was in the highway when I had this thought. And I thought, you know what marriage is? You're not going to stay the same person. Like you're going to, people change. The whole goal of marriage is to continue to change together.
Yep. And that's what we've done.
Change together. Yeah. And so you are like, you're exploring, making your house different together and going through the kitchen once a year. Like my husband also does the cooking. Like he wants to get, this year we just got new pots and pans because he was just done with the old pots and pans. Again, he had an opinion about the kind of pots and pans that he wanted. And we changed where they're stored. And he had an opinion about where he wanted them to be stored. And he does like the changes. And we do it together. It's like actually something we do for fun together. And if you are still in the active parenting years, you're like, there is no way. Yes, let me just tell you, eventually there is a way.
This is
what's going to happen to you too.
It's like what you said, you know, you've got those different stages and they evolved, and we just had our 35th wedding anniversary and how we do things in the house now is very different from how we used to do them because like I said, it's evolved and he's taken ownership. But like I said, the 4.5 years of doing Organized 365, it's been good because I'll talk to him. I said, well, you know, Lisa said this and Lisa. And at first he was like, who's Lisa? Now he knows. you're the other best friend that doesn't come to the house, but that just comes through the speaker in the kitchen. That's right.
Your invisible friend, Lisa, who actually you could be like, yeah, but I actually talked to Lisa today. And he'll be like, I think we need to check your meds. And you're like, no, I like, listen, I'm going to be on the podcast.
That's right.
Well, you mentioned you have 3 Sunday baskets. So tell me kind of like, how was the process of starting the Sunday basket? Why do you have 3? How does it help you?
Well, like I said, about 4.5 years ago, after, you know, listening to the podcast and trying the free laundry room week, I thought, okay, this is something I need to do. So November 2018, one morning, you know, I pressed the button and said, I want it. I also ordered one for my daughter-in-law at the time also, because she would listen to the podcast with me and she was real on, you know, into this. So I got my Sunday basket. It helped me get rid of more paper And tax time that season was so much better. And I kept my one red Sunday basket. So you don't have red anymore, but I still have my red one, which I love. But I wound up with three because when you did the one for New Year and Christmas just recently.
Oh, yes.
I got those. And so the green one is now everything tax related because it's money. It's my money box. And the blue one is things that kind of go in there that don't really have a home yet or I'm not quite sure what I want to do with it. So it gets gone through. But my red one is my main one. But it's been nice to not have to be tied down to one room to do my bills. I can take it. And this time of year, if it's not raining, I take it outside and go through my Sunday basket sitting outside. Yes. In the fresh air. So it's nice that it's mobile. And even though you've got the ones with the handles and everything, I just pick mine up and carry it with me. But it's been really nice. And my sister-in-law, Lynn, has been hearing me talk about the Sunday basket and about Lisa and Organize 365. And so some of my Christmas presents this year were like subliminally organized gifts that kind of would help you. And so she came over a couple of weeks ago and she said, I want to borrow your books. I know you've got all of her books. I want to borrow them. I've been listening to the podcast. And she said, we've got Saturday set aside and we're going through and we're purging all our paper and everything. She said, because I'm tired of not being able to find anything. She said, you've done a great job. So I said, well, it's always a work in progress.
How does that make you feel, Pamela? You've done a great job. And you said earlier, like you didn't have anybody over even on the holidays. And now here you have a family member saying you're doing a great job.
Yep. It just makes you feel good, you know, that somebody else sees what I've done. So it's not all hidden away. But another thing that helps too is I really like the 365 community, the app that we have, because like you, I've made some what I call my 365 friends on there. I've never talked to them. I've never seen them in person, but you know, I've got Christy out in Missouri. I've got a lady in Australia, somebody in Delaware, you know, New York. And we kind of comment about each other's accomplishments and where we are. And it's nice to have friends that are in the same place or in a place where you have been or a place you want to get to. So,
as adults, it's kind of hard to find friends.
Yeah, I've got one, you know, one true friend that I've had since we were 10. And,
so you have childhood friends, you have friends from work. I found I gained the most in real life friends when my kids were little, because you had to go to the park or stand in the carpool line or whatever. So you're there and they're there. So you naturally start talking. But other than that, I mean, you could find friends at work or in Bible school. Like you have to be in something to find friends, because, you know, I was talking to my kids, Jerry and Abby, they're, you know, in their early 20s and they're like, they have a couple of friends. They're like, we want more friends. And I'm like, how did I find friends? And it's by finding something you like to do. And then doing that, you find the other people. So for me, it was Bible studies or things related to the kids. Mm-hmm. Joey's done a great job of finding friends by being in these car clubs, because he has like all the stuff related to his car. Or video games, like the kids have friends online in their video games.
Oh, yeah.
But it is true, as an adult, like how would we find each other? Like you guys all like the podcast, but how do you talk to other people who like the podcast? That's why the community is so great, because that's where you find the other Organize 365 oriented people who are all people who want to work on professional development and making their home a little bit better. Like that's the commonality. And you guys are so amazing. Like you're so positive and fun to be around. Like, I love it. Every time I get to interview you on the podcast or see you at a paper organizer retreat or a book signing, or like, we are like such fun people.
We are. And we know we got where we were not overnight. It didn't happen all at one time. And so we know this is like a lifelong journey that we're going to work on.
So. Yeah. So I love that you brought up the app. So you've been around. So let's have this conversation. You've been around long enough when it was on Facebook and then it moved to the app, right?
Yes.
That was a big change. But I tell you what, you guys moved to the app so fast and so efficiently that the app company that we hired was like, I cannot believe you moved all these people from Facebook to the app in 4 weeks. And like, it was like, they just moved over.
you told us what to do and we followed your directions.
Well, I have to give
yes.
Yeah. I have to give a shout out to Tanya and Steph and Monique and Michelle, because they are why it was nice. We were creating the app, and you know me, I'm like, okay, we need to create an app and it's got to integrate with all these things. And Monique says to me, there's no content on the app. Like, if people come over here and there's no content, they're going right back to Facebook. And so they spent 6 weeks putting all kinds of stuff in the app so that when you got there, there were all these conversations. And now, I mean, you guys just run with it. But they were really like, no, we have to make this so much better. And I know it was a hard change because, you know, you're on Facebook, you see all the other things, and you see Organize 365. If you're going to do the app, you have to download a separate app. You got to connect it. You got to do the authorization thing. You got to get in the habit of checking the app instead of checking Facebook. But it's so much better.
Oh, it is. And it's one of the, it's probably the only app that I have on my phone that alerts me, sends me notifications, tells me when, you know, people have made posts, and it just cuts on for me, because it's a positive influence. And I just share, you know, at work, some of the girls at work, I said, you know, you really, they'll talk about, can't find something, or my house is a wreck. I said, you really need to get this app and download it and look at it. And of course, they got real tired of me one time talking about, oh, I'm getting rid of sheets, I'm getting rid of towels. And they're like, what are you talking about? And I said, no, you get this app, go look at all this. It's awesome. And so one of the guys that I work with, he said, now tell me what this is about. My wife may be interested. So I shared with him.
It's not like we can't have men. Like, men can listen to the podcast, men can join the app, but it is like women, especially of our generation, like we have this extra compartment where we're like, the house, we need to organize the house. We need to, like it is something we're just always naturally thinking about and striving to do better at. And, you know, we just naturally want to work on our house and nest.
It's our nesting thing that we do.
Yes, we totally.
Even this falls over into work, because at my desk, I don't have a work box or a Sunday basket at work, but I have my folders, and they're like, okay, do you have such and such? I said, yes, it's in the red folder, or it's in the blue folder. And, you know, of course.
Yeah.
So when I am on vacation, they can find stuff. So, so it's nice.
So are you finding, Pamela, that you have more time? I mean, I know you're still in the thick of your organizing journey, and it's going to be years, you know, for your husband to get his man cave in the basement. But like, how do you feel about the progress that you're making and where you are in the journey, and how you're using your time now?
I do have more time, because I can come home and on occasion I will cook dinner. But it's time that I feel like I'm doing something now, because I want to. Like, I've started going through photographs, and before I would have felt guilty sitting down doing something like that, because I would have seen all this other stuff that I had to do. But it, like I said, it's given me time to have planned several vacations. We just took a cruise and went through the Panama Canal, and that was a vacation that, you know, we planned on for over a year and a half. So I wouldn't have been able to take that or planned it if I had had all this other stuff. But I enjoy sitting down and mapping out with you, you know, how much time do I have in a day? How much time do I have in a weekend? And actually, I discovered time that I didn't realize that I did have, and what time I was using. I use it better now.
Yeah.
So I work smarter, I guess, is the best way to put it. Mm-hmm.
So you can do more of what you want to do. So you said you're getting ready to undertake the photo project. That is a massive undertaking.
Yes.
I mean, it will take years to really get going on all those, because I've done it, and it's worth it and worthwhile, but it is like the biggest jigsaw puzzle of all time.
Yeah. The first part is I have gotten some photo boxes. And just collecting the pictures that have started scattering all the places. They're all in one place now. So we're getting closer. And just trying to decide, you know, do I want to scan them in? Do I want to put them in books? You know, how do I want to keep them? And then going through and it's like, oh, this is something blurry. You know, I don't need it. Pitch it out. Keep the important ones. And then, like I said, all the boxes of slides I've got to deal with. You want to preserve those memories, but yet I want to do it in a way that my kids will enjoy looking at them too. So
what I found to be really fun, and you could do it now this year, is to just pull out the boxes of photos and just have them start looking at them and talking about them, not even before they are scanned or in albums or whatever, like just on Thanksgiving, just like having them there, and they just grab them. They're like, oh, can you believe when Uncle Joe did this? And they just start laughing and they tell these stories. It's just so fun. Like the best part about photos is the conversations that come up when people are looking at the photos.
That's true. Reliving those special times and, you know, coming across things that they didn't know about or didn't remember too.
Right. And the slides, I can't remember how we did them. And, you know, there's always new technologies coming out. You know, you can get those things where you look at the slides and you actually decide from the slides, but I can't remember how much it is to actually just have the slides turned into photos. Mm-hmm. It may just be easier to just be like, okay, it's going to be X amount of dollars, and you take them and you have them all turned into photos, because it's so much easier to sort the photos than to look at the slide and figure it out. And then, you know, depending on how much it would cost, it could be worth your time to just write the check and have them all turned into photos to get that part of the job done.
That would probably be easy once I sort through. Yeah,
because the looking at slides, like you get the little light box or you get the projector, it takes a while. Of course, if you just have your husband fill a carousel every night and you just like, all right, we're going to have dinner and we're going to watch one whole carousel full and pull out the ones that we want to put into pictures, you could do that too.
That's a good idea. I'll put that on my list.
But I'm telling you right now, looking at them in a light box, yeah, your eyes, I mean, no.
Yeah.
Carousel it is. Or turn them into photos. I can't see anything without my glasses anymore. Oh, and I didn't have glasses until last month.
I wear them. They stay on top of my head.
Oh my goodness. Pamela, is there anything you wish you would have known sooner?
I wished I had known sooner a better way to keep all my paperwork together, because I wouldn't have kept so much. And just that you don't have to have so much stuff. It's not about the stuff. And I say that. And when I say stuff, I'm talking about the kitchen implements, the cups, and then the sheets and the towels and the boxes of makeup and all the extra toys that they don't bother with, and just kind of whittle down and live a more minimal life with the things that are around me. My two boys are doing that. They're really good about not filling up and cluttering up. That's why they won't take most of the stuff that I have. But just to enjoy life every day with the minimum things, and to have peace and order. That's been important. Growing up, my mom was a school teacher, so the first week after post-planning was her time to go through the house and do the summer cleaning. And you get the ladders out and the rags out and just clean and go through every piece of furniture in the house. And you would have thought by growing up that way, I would have kept more of that, those ways. But just, it was there, and I was, you know, I knew what the right thing to do, but I still just kind of kept it all.
Well, so, in your defense, you weren't a teacher. You worked year round. So you didn't have that natural break to say, hey, work has stopped. My homework is taking priority. Like, you were going, you know, working 365 and raising the kids. So you didn't have that natural break. Had you had that natural break, maybe you would, maybe you wouldn't have used it, but you would have been more likely to use it. You didn't have that opportunity.
No. And I have to make my own time to do those things. I schedule, you know, a day off every now and then where I get like two or three days in a row to have my break. It does work for me. But yeah, I think if I would love to have found you on day one, and just been right there on day one. But you are a very inspirational person in my life, and it's helped so much. And other, like I said, my husband, he looks around and he was like, we got a better handle on these things now. So I share your word, and I share your service and your business with everybody that I can. So I try to keep the good word out there for you.
Well, thank you. I have an idea, and I'm wondering if it would or if it would not work. So there is this tension that I see often between, like, you have saved stuff for your boys that they don't want it. And so now the stuff sits in your house, which technically was theirs and you saved for them, but they don't want it. So now it's yours again. So I'm just going to pose this question and see what you say. So the first thing is, you saved it for them. The things that you saved for them, not the chairs that you want to keep, but like their artwork, their toys, all of that. If you give it to them and they decide to donate it, does that bother you?
It does to an extent. That's probably why I haven't packed it up and taken it to them, because I know that's probably what will happen.
Okay, so then, for other people listening, not you, Pamela, but for other people listening, if you have saved in your house stuff for your adult children and they do not want it, then what if you pack it up or you have it in the living room? They come over for Sunday dinner or the holidays or whatever. You say, by the way, I'm going to go ahead and donate all this. I just want you to have one more pass through before you see that this is actually leaving. That's one solution of how you can empty out your basement or your attic if your kids do not want what you are giving them. Mm-hmm. The second one is, if you do not want to keep what you are giving your kids and you don't think they want it, give it to them anyway. And kids, take the stuff and take it right to Goodwill if you really don't want it.
And don't tell me.
Well, tell you, don't tell you. So then it just becomes like, whose stuff is it? So if that's the case, if your kids really don't want the stuff that is in the basement, which I think they probably still want 10% because they don't even really know what's down there, to be honest.
I have no clue.
They don't know, because you don't know either. I don't know. We never know. It's down there. It's in the black hole. We don't know. So when you start going through it, I would have you ask yourself these questions, because number one, do you want it and do they want it? And then if you have, yes, you want it, then you keep it. Yes, they want it, then they get it. But if it's a no and a no, then donate it. And you could probably go through your whole basement in the next couple of months. First, go through, if you don't want it, bring it upstairs. And then the next time they come over, say, I don't want this. Do you want this? And if they say no, then donate it, because you don't want it either.
Yeah,
then you'll get down to at least only the things that you actually want in the basement.
I've been able to do that with books. And so they went through, they kept a few things, and books even, and magazines, they went to our local library for their library sale. And it did feel very uplifting when I drove off without those six boxes of books.
And I think it's okay to want your kids' stuff that they don't want. I think that's okay. You can keep it.
I guess I'm like my mom and my grandma in the sense, you keep the things thinking that eventually someone will want them or they'll be of value once again. So all the Fisher Price toys, I've kept all those, the play sets,
I don't think they're safe.
Yeah.
I don't think they're safe. You'll have to look it up.
Oh, I know.
I know we don't want it. Yes. So the other thing is, if we didn't need it during the pandemic, we're probably not going to need it.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Because we're always like, we'll keep it just in case. Well, let me just tell you, the pandemic was the just in case. So if you still didn't use it, you're not going to need it.
Not going to need it.
Because we're not going back to that again. And that was pretty much our worst fears realized. So there you go.
I'll follow that.
Yeah.
That'll be my next step. I'm going to that folder because I do need me a room that is an organized storage room, because right now if it goes down the basement, it's like, where do we put this? So.
Well, and I was talking again, someone when I was at the homeschool convention who had a garage full and a basement full of stuff from being a homeschooling parent, but now they were the grandparent. They don't even have any children, but their children are homeschooling. They're like, well, I'm keeping all this stuff just in case they need it, And I said, well, first of all, give them whatever they need. And they have smaller houses or whatever. Well, we all have limitations. I said, wouldn't it be cool if you created a bin for every year? So like first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. And you kept the favorite things that you taught your kids during those years. And then your grandchildren could come, you know, spend a day or a week with you and have like their annual school field trip to you where you teach them whatever. She's like, oh, I love that idea. I said, yes, but you can only keep a bin's worth. So you can't keep all of the curriculum for everything because there are all these other homeschooling families that can use it, but one bin. And like, same for you, like when the grandchildren come to your house, if you have grandchildren or will have grandchildren or family and friends come over at the holidays and you want to pull out your favorite toys for when they are 0 to 2 and, you know, 3 to 8 and like just a little bit of things from each of their different times of childhood where they would play with those things at your house.
That's a great idea. That's how I'll keep all that up here as yes. I'm going through everything, you know.
Yeah.
But I do have an idea that once I start getting into stuff, a lot of it's going to go in that big dumpster, that especially
yes,
in the
yes.
basement. But books have always been a value, and especially children's books. And you have so many memories. You sit there and you're like, oh, I remember reading this one 10 times, you know, every week. And you remember all those words. But yep, I'll keep enough for one bookshelf.
And you should know, dumpsters are not like dumpsters when we were kids. Like, even when you rent a dumpster and you fill it, someone goes through that dumpster piece mm-hmm. by piece. And they donate and they recycle. And so very little that you even put in a dumpster, if you rent a dumpster, actually ends up in a landfill. Almost all of it ends up being recycled or donated.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that could be some comfort too.
It will. Like I said, that's my next step. And I really appreciate how you've gotten everything organized in the different folders and you broke everything down. So if I want to work on just this piece, I go to just this place. So
in the dashboard?
Awesome. Yes, I love
yeah.
it. I love it.
Yeah, again, got a shout out to the education team because I was like, I think, and they're like, okay, and they keep changing it. So we keep breaking it down into smaller and smaller lessons inside of courses is kind of how we're looking at it now. Like mm-hmm. if we teach this skill of organizing, well, then actually I'm not a podcaster, we're a school. And like when yeah. you're in the school, you're signing up for different courses. And inside of each of those courses, there are different lessons. And when you complete the lessons, you get a check mark and you're done.
That's right.
You're done with that lesson and you're moving through your organizational school, which is really fun for me.
It is. And I enjoy that because I'm kind of, I follow a plan, you know.
Yeah. Being, yeah.
So you start it and you finish it. And like you said, you check it off and then you look around, you go, that's done. Let's move on.
Yes. Yes. So Pamela, what would you say to someone who is just getting started? They're like, okay, I got this time set aside. I'm going to get started. Where should they get started? What would you say to them to encourage them?
I tell them just try it. Give yourself, like you said, give yourself grace. Work on it at your own pace. Take small bites. It didn't get this way overnight. It's not going to get better overnight.
Right.
But you know, just small bites, 15 minutes a day, 30 minutes mm-hmm. a day, whatever you can do, just try it. And it the personal feeling that you have, you know, that gives you the motivation to keep going.
Yeah.
So, and I've recommended it, like I said, it worked to some of the girls at work, and they come back and they go, oh, this was so easy, you know, mm-hmm. like I said, go try that week, go through your laundry room. And they were like, man, this is easy. It was actually fun. So,
yes. Organizing can be fun.
It can be.
We're fun. Come hang
That's
out
right.
with us.
But yeah, just work at it at your own pace. Like I said, I've 4.5 years is how I've been working at this. It's not all done. It won't be all done because of the amount of stuff that I have, but you know, it's getting there.
Mm-hmm.
It's lightened my load, so to say.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story on the podcast.
Well, thank you. I was excited and nervous to do it, but it's been great.